Because most people, when they meet that kind of disappointment in their career, they don't have the skills, you know, the soft skills, the personal interaction, the interpersonal abilities. They take those things very personally and they become bitter from it, not better from it. And their ability to take action, their ability to feel that joy of professional satisfaction, the enthusiasm, all of that continues to wane. And by that, you know, 7-10 year mark, it's just become a mundane, monotonous routine. I need the paycheck, so I have to go to work.
Sure.
But it's a burden on me. So having that awareness when you are starting your career is very important.
Your career is like a living, breathing organism. And building great careers requires nurturing them with strategic guidance. Hi, my name is Sawan Kapoor, and I'm India's leading career coach, also known as the Career Guy. Welcome to the Career Headquarters. Most comprehensive career podcast on the internet, where I will bring you groundbreaking insights on everything career related. Whether you're seeking a career abroad or wanting to switch industries, whether you are entry level or a mid-career professional or a senior leader, I have seen it all. As an award-winning CEO of one of the largest and most profitable beverage alcohol companies, my career spanned 3 continents, multiple industries, and provided me with an accelerated roadmap to the very top. So if you want to build an exceptional career and 3x your paycheck, this podcast is for you.
Welcome to Career Headquarters, the most comprehensive career podcast. Hi, Sawan, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good as well.
We're doing this after a while.
Yes, I'm excited.
What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about professional superpowers, the two most important factors for career growth.
Okay.
So shall we get started?
Yes.
Okay. So everyone is obsessed with growing, whether it's a business, an investment, one's own career. Growth is valued in general. So for working professionals, what are the factors that can help them grow their careers the most?
I think the first thing is to understand that there is a difference between growth and success. So if a business grows its sales, but is not profitable or is barely making a profit, then that's not really, you know, even though they are growing, they're not successful, right? So it's that ability to generate a return. From a career perspective, you know, I can tell you I get asked this question in many forms. And, you know, there's a lot of free advice available out there on the internet. Hard work and empathy and communication skills and this degree and that degree and all of that, you know, can help in a career. But if I was to boil it down to, you know, what are your professional superpowers, I would say there's two factors that are going to impact your career more than anything else. The first factor is learning how to build and lead high performance teams. And the second factor is understanding that 20-80 rule. What 20% of your responsibilities are most deeply connected with the financial levers, the financial statements of the organization. I think these two factors will have a greater impact on your career than any degree or any certification or anything of the sort. So, you know, if you don't master these two factors, then you are going to create a ceiling with regard to your own career. So there's going to be a limit to how much you will be able to grow using just your hard skills, your knowledge base or your subject matter expertise. So I think this is very critical for, you know, working professionals to understand, because this becomes that essential rite of passage to be able to grow your, you know, career to very, very senior positions or to the very top.
All right. Can you talk to us a little more about these two factors?
Sure. So, you know, the first factor is building and leading high performance teams. And, you know, a very popular question that gets asked in interviews is, tell me more about a time when you worked in a team environment.
Right.
What this question is really asking is that, you know, we don't achieve anything alone. And you know that, right? So that's what this question is really asking. See, there are different levels of leadership. level one is somebody who is a highly competent individual. You know, they have great work ethic. They know what needs to get done within their scope and they make positive contributions. Level two is somebody who knows how to work in a team setting, right? He can work or she can work as part of a group helping them achieve their objectives. Level three is a manager. They don't create a vision, but they can bring people together to achieve predetermined objectives. Level four is a senior leader, somebody whose presence catalyzes the whole process. And they lead by example and they stimulate higher performance standards. And then level five is a level of leader that is more interested in the success of others than their own success. In fact, their own success is an outcome of being interested in the success of others. So I can tell you that, you know, learning how to identify great talent, how to hire them, how to train them for the job so that they have the necessary tools and skills to be able to do the job, grooming them to be able to fit within the culture while not stifling their individuality, and then being able to help them grow their careers and retain them. That is what leaders do. It's one of the defining characteristics of leadership. So to lead, a certain amount of personal development has to have taken place. You know, being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, listening in an active manner, giving feedback that you're making the other person feel heard and not just, you know, listening to form a reply. Being able to give feedback in a tone that is acceptable, because the minute you speak roughly or embarrass or insult someone, their ears will shut down and the message goes over their head. So, you know, it's very important that that leaders communicate in this manner. Dealing with sensitive matters, dealing with ambiguity, managing conflict, these are all traits that are going to be important to facilitate this first factor, which is learning how to build and lead high performance teams. And you know, all of this comes from life experience. So it's going to be on the job learning. It's not going to come from the formal system of education, because that is mostly giving you career expertise. It's giving you subject matter expertise, and not this soft skills expertise. So it has to be done by example, knowing when to push your team and when to, you know, pull back, showing sincere care and concern, because that's something you cannot fake, right? True ownership and accountability for the results and for the journey. So this is what leaders need to enable in being able to put together high performance teams and keep them in that space where productivity and their morale remains maximized. So no senior position is a solo performance position. So if you want to make it to a C-level job, you want to be the chief marketing officer or chief procurement officer or chief of human resources or a CEO or a CFO or any of these titles, then this is going to be a very essential rite of passage to be able to get there. And doing something yourself and being really good at it versus managing others and getting them to be really good at it, these are two entirely different skill sets. So you may be great at coding and writing software, but managing other people and getting them to write excellent software, these are two very different skill sets. So this would be the first one. The second superpower, as I stated, was understanding that 80-20 rule, which is what 20% of your responsibilities cannot be outsourced, cannot be delegated. This is something you have to master yourself, because these are the levers that are most directly connected with the financial statements of the company. So, you know, that is an area that you have to bring the solution to. So this is also that 20% that has the greatest impact on the financial statements of the company. See, the idea here is that you should work on things that create the most quantifiable impact for the organization, whether it is projects or you're working on a task or a process or whatever. Because when you are aligned with the activities that create the greatest returns, then the rewards that will flow to you in your career will also be maximized. So this is why you are not looking for the best run company to join. You should be looking for the organization where your skills, talents, education, experiences, your knowledge, and your personal qualities will have the greatest impact on their extraordinary needs, the needs that go beyond just your job description. Now, this professional superpower keeps you permanently in demand. So you become that go-to person, you know, the solutions person. I mean, all the eyes in the room will turn to you. So, you know, if you work, let's say, in sales or marketing or finance or operations, or you're an IT professional and you understand how your everyday work, your daily projects and responsibilities, your tasks impact the financial performance of the company, and you know precisely what or which part of your responsibilities has the greatest impact on the finances, then you are starting to master this professional superpower. But for most, you know, behind the scenes functions, like operations or IT or supply chain or, you know, even customer service for that matter, these functions find it very difficult to understand their connect with the financial statement. So I'll give you an example here. Let's say there is a IT company, is, you know, they create some software and they pick up a project and the billing value of that project is 1 crore rupees. Okay. And it's a 4 month long project. All right. Now, let's say the total cost, the total salary cost is 20 lakh rupees a month. So it will take 4 months to deliver this project. That means the total salary cost will be per month salary into four. So that will be 80 lakh rupees. Right. And at the end of 4 months, you've delivered the project. The client is satisfied. They pay you the 1 crore rupees. Right. Or they've paid you in slabs. Either way is fine. But you realize a total billing of 1 crore at the end of 4 months. So the profit that you made in this project, and I'm keeping this example simple, right? The profit that you made in this example would be 1 crore minus 80 lakhs, roughly around 20 lakhs. Now, let's say they hire somebody who understands how, you know, their work is connected to the financial statements, right? And this person, because of their efficiency, because of their better people management skills, because of their deeper subject matter expertise, is able to complete this project in 3 months instead of 4 months. So now the total salary cost that was incurred was 20 lakh rupees per month into 3 months, which is 60 lakhs. The billing value is still 1 crore, right? So now the profit has gone from 20 lakhs to 40 lakhs, right? But more important than that, money came in 1 month before. So there is a impact on cash flow as well, right? Because you will realize that money sooner, you know, that money can also begin to work for you sooner. So there is an interest cost or an opportunity cost of that money that also works in your favor. The third thing that happens is that because you're more efficient in how you're working, without adding additional resources, you've saved 1 month of time, 1 month of man hours. That 1 month of time now allows the company to be able to take on more clients, and you know, they could land up taking on another project that's maybe a 2 crore rupee project. So it has helped the bottom line, it has helped the top line, correct? And that's the impact that this professional has been able to bring, because they understand how to do the work in a manner that impacts the financial levers of the company. So having this understanding is very, very critical.
Okay, very well explained. So why is this not widely known? I mean, why is this not taught to working professionals before they enter the workforce?
That is the unfortunate part. So this is where I feel, you know, the education system needs to be redesigned. It is very heavily focused on domain knowledge and not sufficiently on making that knowledge practical for application and how it impacts people, their careers, the outcomes that they are working on. And all of that comes through, you know, like I was talking earlier, through the interaction that you will have on the base of that subject matter expertise that will bring your coding skills and your professional prowess to life. School and college provide us the hard skill side. Okay, they give us that subject matter expertise, and the soft skills are left, you know, abandoned. Some people gain them better than others. It goes back to your personal development, right? So this is where I feel that there needs to be a massive redesign to the formal system of education. This is the stuff that should be taught in schools and colleges. It should be an additional part of the curriculum. I remember, there used to be a subject in school called moral science. And it was a half an hour or 40-minute class once a week. And, you know, in this class, we would talk about all of these concepts like empathy, and we would talk about the strategic value of failure. We would talk about why honesty is the best policy. And it was a very interesting class. But half an hour every week was nowhere close to what was needed for, you know, the students to really ingrain the appreciation for what that information is bringing to their life. Because that is like the gateway drug, you know. I mean, it opens the door to success, in a multifold manner. So that's one thing that I remember. And recently, just this last week, I was in Dubai. I was talking at the World Education Conference. So all of the topics, you know, I was speaking on reimagining leadership for academic administrators. I was talking about, there was a topic on creating lasting impact in a post-pandemic world. What do educators and academicians need to be thinking about as they are preparing people for, the world of today? And the world of today is a moving target. It's like you're trying to score the goal and the goalpost is moving. So educators have their, you know, task cut out. They're trying to prepare you for something that they are still fully grappling to understand. Like most recently, we've seen what generative AI has done, right? So ChatGPT and everything has come out. It is being welcomed, but with a little bit of trepidation, with a little bit of fear. There are many companies, like if you look at, some of the bigger ones, Apple, Samsung, Ernst & Young, some of the bigger organizations, there's a list of about, I think, almost 30 organizations now that have banned the use of ChatGPT. So there's concern in how confidential data will be leaked. There's privacy concerns. There is no regulation in this area. So these are the kinds of challenges that, you know, educators and academic administration is going to have to tackle in redefining the curriculum so that this knowledge really makes it into the head of the person coming into the workforce, because it makes such a difference. What that person is going to learn in the first 10 years through hit and trial without any guarantee, and there's no guarantee that people will learn it. Very few actually learn it. Because most people, when they meet that kind of disappointment in their career, they don't have the skills, the soft skills, the personal interaction, the interpersonal abilities. They take those things very personally. And they become bitter from it, not better from it. And their ability to take action, their ability to feel that joy of professional satisfaction, the enthusiasm, all of that continues to wane. And by that, 7-10 year mark, it's just become a mundane, monotonous routine. I need the paycheck, so I have to go to work. Sure. But it's a burden on me. So having that awareness when you are starting your career is very important. And I think that's what the education system really needs to get right.
All right. So getting back to the core subject, how do these two professional superpowers create career advancement?
See, when you know how to manage others, talking about the first one, when you know how to manage others, that is to be able to get exceptional performance out of other people, and you also understand what core responsibilities you have to handle, your own self, the ones that create the greatest impact on the financial statements of the organization, you can't help but grow. Very importantly, it's critical to understand that, these two professional superpowers will enable what is known as horizontal promotions. So typically professionals only rely on, you know, vertical promotions. So let's say you're a software engineer. A vertical promotion would be if you're given the designation and a little raise to a senior software engineer, or you then go on to become a principal architect, right? So this would be an example of growing vertically within your own function. And this is very much in the hands of the company. You're waiting for that performance appraisal to come about where you're evaluated, and if you've met the benchmarks, then you're promoted and given that better designation and slightly higher salary. But when you understand these two things, then there are a number of strategies that you can use to create horizontal promotions. And horizontal promotions are where you are not dependent on the organization anymore for, being able to facilitate that promotion. Hmm. You start expanding into areas where, you know, you are growing the scope. So, for example, that software engineer who has the technical skills is strong in his area, but now is starting to assist in pre-sales and the sales team in explaining the technology in that area to a potential client. So they took the initiative because they understand how pricing is going to impact the work, the margins, the efficiency, the size of the team, that they know how to deliver the project on budget and on time or ahead of budget, ahead of time. And they're very good with people because they'll keep people enthused in that environment while the work is going on. So you have a happy team, you have happy financials, you have happy clients. So, you know, it's just a small example of saying that mastering these two leads to opening doors in one's career that, again, one will not be able to fully comprehend without having experienced it.
Wow, that is such a light bulb moment.
Yeah, you know, this is what allows you to grow the scope of your role. And, you know, the impact that you can have on a company, on an organization. And the best part about these horizontal promotions is that you don't need to wait for your performance appraisal to get this.
Right.
Another way of saying this is that, you know, for a vertical promotion to grow in your function, you need to get the company to promote you. But, you know, for horizontal promotions, you don't need the company's approval or, you know, the company's okay to be able to facilitate this for yourself. You're taking much more control over the variables of your career, like, you know, the seniority, the respect, the authority, the salary, the resources that will support you. So it opens up an area of growth that most people don't even know about.
Very true. I'm sure people would like to learn more about this. What can they do to understand more about this concept?
See, this was a groundbreaking strategy that I used personally, and it came from, you know, having experienced
your experience,
as an employee myself. So, you know, it's one of the core reasons why I could go from an entry-level position to the position of a CEO in 8 years. And that is one-third the standard time, because, you know, it typically takes somebody at least 20, 25 years to be able to make it to that C-level position in their career. There's a lot of dues they have to pay if they follow the traditional route. And I can tell you today, hundreds of our students have been able to use this and a number of other strategies, because each career is unique. Because what we teach is not a one-size-fits-all. There's a common framework, but the manner in which it is adapted is completely customized to the specifics of the journey that student is that working professional is facing. So, you know, this comprehensive system is what I cover in our 2-day live training. And I think that is the training to attend. If you're serious about your career, you want to accelerate outcomes like your CTC, your remuneration, your professional satisfaction, your work-life balance, and your ability to continue to grow in an accelerated manner, then that 2-day live training that we do is going to be essential, because it's a very intensive and highly immersive experience, and you'll never be able to look at the job market the same way again. So the best advice would be sign up for the masterclass, understand how we work, and come for the 2-day live training. And, you know, students can find us on our website, savankapoor.com. They can send us an email, connect@theratesavankapoor.com. They can join our YouTube channel, which is The Career Guy, Savan Kapoor on YouTube.
We'll also add it in the description.
We can add it in the description. They can follow us on LinkedIn or on Facebook. We're available everywhere. So,
all right. It was a very enlightening episode. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Career Headquarters, the most comprehensive career podcast dedicated to building exceptional careers. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share this with someone you think would benefit from the ideas and the insights shared on this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, Google, Overcast, Castro, or Breaker. If you want to learn more about building an extraordinary career for yourself, I invite you to come attend my free Power Up Your Career live workshop. In this workshop, I will teach you the step-by-step process of landing your dream job in less than 90 days. The link to register is in the description below, and I will see you live at the workshop.